thank you for your patience and your time today, Mr. Hart. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I got nothing but time. I'm on I-90 headed to the airport in Syracuse. I'm just rolling in my 5.0. I have my rack top down so my hair could blow. And we're cruising around.
What an image.
Yeah.
How about that visual? All right. I have been told I've never been to Cooperstown. That's where you were this weekend. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I have been told that you cannot get to Cooperstown from wherever it is you're starting. You have to go somewhere else. Is that correct?
That's accurate, and it's such a quaint little village that I think they like it that way.
It becomes the place, though. I mean, I know it's kind of mecca for baseball fans, but especially on Hall of Fame weekend. Look, I don't have the list year by year classes, but for people kind of our era, Tom, even though I've got a few years on you, it's hard to find one a whole lot better than Maddox, Glavin, Bobby Cox, La Russa, Torrey. Oh, by the way, Frank Thomas. But good grief, that's about as good as it gets.
Yeah, I think it's the largest class since, I don't know when. You know, just the size, if they have six guys. Remember last year they had nobody. So that alone is remarkable. They're now, and to me, it's the managers that really pushes it over the top. There are now 22 managers in baseball's Hall of Fame. That's it, 22. And we got to see three of them inducted. La Russa's success with the A's, and the Cardinals, so, you know, multiple organizations there. Torrey, I mean, he's a Yankeeography in his own right and his accomplishments. And what's funny to me and being there in person and being around these events is you would think Joe Torrey in Cooperstown, New York is going to be the story of the weekend. And I don't know what the final tally, I don't know if there are 50, 60, or 70,000 people in that field yesterday. It was all about the Atlanta Braves. It was all about Bobby and Glavin and Maddox and their accomplishments and the way they handled everything this weekend kind of pushed Joe Torrey to the back burner in Central New York. I thought that would have been impossible going in.
Tell you what, and you know this, you cover the Braves for FSM, but for those, you know, there are a lot of us that grew up watching the Braves on TBS, and that it was them and the Cubs. I mean, you could get the Yankees regionally. You may get the Yankees on the game of the week, but every night, every day, Cubs Braves because of those two entities, those two stations. So I'm not totally shocked that the numbers could be as good as they were because Braves fans, they've been waiting for a day like this for a long time.
And I see that, Chris, pretty much everywhere we go. It's more evident to me when we're in the West Coast, you know, or I'll be at Dodger Stadium tomorrow night and I'll meet dozens of Braves fans who grew up on the West Coast watching the games on TBS. It's everywhere we go. I see it on the road. But once again, it was in Cooperstown. I mean, yeah, there's a guy from Madison, Mississippi. He drove 22 hours to be there. But there's also a guy from Hershey, Pennsylvania I met. And there is a family from Chicago. And there were some fans from Texas that I ran into and introduced themselves. So TBS is such a huge part of that following. And what I love about it is I met a great group, from Southern Indiana. Same exact thing. A dad with his kids, and now he's passing that on to the next generation. So even though you can watch 15 different baseball games a night, with your satellite dish and it's not just the Braves and the Cubs anymore. I think we're going to see the effects of that for decades to come.
Tom Hart joining us on the Bud Light Hotline, presented by Green Beverage. He was in Cooperstown for the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies that took place over the weekend. And, Tom, I would love to get your thoughts on this and tell me if you agree or disagree, but I made the statement early in the show, the irony of having Joe Torrey and Bobby Cox go into the same Hall of Fame class. Amazing. Because if if Bobby Cox doesn't get hired by the Braves, he's probably not making it to Cooperstown. On the flip side, with where that organization was at the time, if Joe Torre doesn't get fired from the Braves, he probably doesn't get into this spot either.
That's a great point. That's a fantastic point. And I think one thing that gets overlooked that I had a lot of fun talking to people about this weekend, obviously not just, of course he's in as a manager, but Bobby's role as a general manager to build the organization, to come up with a game plan with guys like Paul Snyder to say, here's what we're going to look for and here's how we're going to build this organization. And to do it. You know, so when John Schuerholz came over from the Royals after the Royals won it all in 85 against and had to get through Bobby Cox and the Toronto Blue Jays, Schuerholz came over there and he told us this weekend, he said, everything was in place. You know, he said, I got a couple of free agents here and there. We brought in a guy or two. But in reality, the foundation had already been set by what Bobby did as a general manager before he even put himself back in the dugout.
Unbelievable to see those guys there and what they've accomplished. The Braves themselves trying to get it done. You're heading to the West Coast. Those were big trips back in the day. I would imagine it's still pretty special going out there. But now that we're in the back half of the regular season post All-Star break, how are things looking?
Well, you know what's really funny, Chris? We talked with Bobby this morning, and as we got him off camera, he said, "Hey, how did we do last night? We won, right?" And the few of us that were standing there kind of shook our heads. Yeah, we're pretty sure. And then we all agreed, talking with, you know, Hall of Famer Bobby Cox, we all agreed that as great as the weekend was, we haven't been able to follow the team. You know, right. We've been bouncing around doing all these Hall of Fame events, and I didn't feel bad. I figured if Bobby Cox was having a hard time following the day-to-day of the team, then Tom Hart shouldn't feel so guilty. But when you try to predict, you know, what's going to happen over the final 55 games and what they need to do, number one is just to keep pace with the Nationals. Mike Minor took a huge step forward this weekend in trying to get back on track, and they're going to continue to, you know, to tweak some things and to tweak his approach on the mound, because he is one of the most important puzzle pieces for this team. I mean, this is a team that offensively they're going to have their ups and downs, and there's going to be some inconsistency. So that being said, it's going to have to win with pitching. And Mike Minor is obviously, he could be the best guy in the rotation. He and Julio Teheran should be the anchors of this rotation, but he hasn't shown it so far this season. And the second part of that is to get Craig Kimbrell back to pitching instead of just throwing. The Braves absolutely depend on him. When he's right, he's the best closer in baseball. When he's struggling, I think he changes the attitude of the entire team. And of course, the pitching staff. So if you wanted to focus on two pieces, and two pieces will be indicators of the Braves' success over the final, what are we now, almost 2 months left in the season, it'll be those two guys.
That's the job that has kept you busy throughout the summer. You are about to wear a couple of hats here very, very soon. The SEC Network launches August 14th. We got the announcement during SEC Media Days that you would be part of that. Congratulations. Happy for you, but as I've also told you, I'm happy for us in the SEC that you're going to be among those guys, because you live in the South. You're a Missouri guy originally, but you are in Atlanta. You know what this means to everybody. You know how passionate the fan bases are, and I don't know that it would mean as much if you didn't have some of the people involved like yourself that truly get how important this is to SEC people.
Yeah, and I think I really appreciate those words. I am beyond excited about getting it going and getting the football season going. I really can't express how excited I am, but the confidence that ESPN has to tap me on the shoulder for this, and it's not just ESPN, obviously. It goes all the way into the SEC offices and Mike's lot. They want to make sure that this is successful, because the SEC deserves for it to be. And having, you know, having worked at the Big Ten Network previously, I really enjoyed that, and I enjoyed being part of the team, because that's how the Big Ten coaches treated us. If we needed something from Tom Izzo, we got it. You know, if we wanted to do the Ohio State spring game with Urban Meyer, we were welcomed in. And so that changes things a little bit, you know, being part of the team, so to speak. But overall, I'm just thrilled that every football Saturday I'm going to be sitting in an SEC stadium, because if I wasn't working and wasn't getting paid to do what I do, I'd be buying a ticket to do that exact same thing. So what's better than that in what you and I do on a daily basis?
No question. I'm watching the Big Ten Network right now, and they've got their media event going on, and you reference the fact you worked there and were a part of some of the early days with that network. What are some of the pitfalls that the SEC will likely miss out on early and avoid by waiting and doing this now, as opposed to trying to be out there first? And it's been a huge success for the Big Ten, so I'm not being critical of it, but I know that there were the SEC was very cautious in making sure the timing was right on all of this.
Well, and I think, I'm not one to speak to the business side of it, because I only know what ends up in the papers, and I certainly don't know anything about how negotiations go. But I think that's the biggest benefit, is waiting to make sure that they could maximize revenue and with distribution get into the home so SEC fans could watch their team play. In my mind, some of the pitfalls that BTN had to deal with early on came from, you know, starting a brand new network and putting together excellent game production. That was a challenge early on. That won't be a challenge with the network that's run by ESPN and staffed by ESPN folks that are, you know, that have done games before and that have worked in the trucks before. But the biggest thing, Chris, I was really pleased to hear the words of Mike Slive and others during media days when they came out and said, "We're going to cover news. We're going to cover breaking news in this conference because that's what our fans deserve." I was working at the Big Ten Network when the Joe Paterno story broke. It broke on a Friday night. I had a game on Saturday, and I didn't know anything about, you know, you game weekends, sometimes you miss the news because you're tied up in your own game. We as a network didn't discuss anything regarding Sandusky or Paterno for another week. And we didn't, it was ignored on our broadcast. And to me, you just can't do that to your viewers. If SEC fans deserve better. They deserve honesty, and they know if you're not being honest with them, and they want their news. You know, they want to know what's going on with their team, good or bad. And for me, that journalistic integrity was a fine line to walk at the previous stop, and I don't think that's going to be an issue here at all. And that's what has me, even a little bit more excited to know that we have the right and the authority and the opportunity to cover stories from all angles, as we should, as any journalist should.
Look, you're not a small in stature man like myself, okay? But it's got to be nice knowing that when you're in the crowded stadiums, you got to get either to the press box or, more importantly, back to the parking lot in the car so you can get to the airport afterwards. Having Matt Stinchcomb run interference is going to be pretty nice, isn't it?
Yeah. Are you kidding me? We're trying to decide if we're going to put shoulder pads on him for our escape and have him clear a path. I always think of offensive linemen in two different ways, and I hate to stereotype and generalize, but this is kind of where I fall with offensive linemen. They're either big, dumb, ugly, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Or they're big and bright. And analytical, and that's what Matt Stinchcomb is. You know, he is one of the smartest guys I've met, and to be able to talk football with him every Saturday is going to be, it's just going to be awesome. His playing experience, and I think it's important that we have, well, first of all, we're lucky to have so many guys that played the game within the SEC that will be able to call the games and commentate on the games that involve their programs and others that know the history of the league and that the fans are familiar with. But most of all, you've got to have guys that are good at what they do, no matter where they went to school or what jersey they wore when they played. So that's why I'm excited. We get a guy who's within the SEC, who's played in these stadiums, who knows the coaches, who knows the personnel, who's covered the league since he was done after, I think, 8 years in the NFL, and he's good at what he does. So that and getting us to the car so we can beat the game day traffic and get home for dinner, that's just icing on the cake.
Good luck on the travels. Thanks so much for the time. Really look forward to seeing the SEC. Have you got the first assignment yet? Where are you going to be first week or two?
First week, we've got a triple header on that Saturday. I want to say Arkansas, the middle game is Arkansas and Auburn, I believe, right?
Right.
I forget who the nightcap is. I'll be in Lexington that opening week to see their fine recruiting class and what Stoops has done there. So we've got UT Martin at Kentucky. And then week two, I'll be down in Gainesville for a night game in the Swamp to see how – I shouldn't have said that. I'm not positive it's a night game, but I'll be in Gainesville week two to kind of see how Will Muschamp has that program moving along.
Well, the good news is if it's a night game, that means it'll only be 105.
Well, that might be why I said that. It might be wishful thinking.